Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
Us and how we can add goodness to our faith to make it, to get to that point where we have the full recipe, all the ingredients to get to where God wants us to be. I challenge you guys to do a couple things. One of them was to go out this week and try to do some goodness out in the community, out to the people around you. Did anybody get a chance to do that? I also challenge you to think about what are the areas that bring you life? What are the things that you do that give you life? And if you didn't know what those were, I encourage you to ask others that know you. Say, what do you see? How do you see God working in me? So I just wanted to remind you guys, if you haven't done it, there's still time, right? We're still looking at the recipe, so it's just for you to start thinking about those things. And today we're talking about the second ingredient, and that is knowledge. So what is knowledge? How does knowledge become part of the recipe for a full life? Now, last week we talked about goodness. We also talked about the fact that having a full life in Christ is no secret. It's not something that only a selected few have the ability to do or to have a life connected to God. It's not a secret. We talked about how some chefs keep their recipes secret so nobody can replicate it. And we talked about, I don't know if you guys remember the Big Mac sauce, how that, you know, people have to sign disclosure papers so that they can't share the recipes. But God is not like that. God has given us a full recipe, and it's not secret. And it's for all of us to actually connect with him. He wants to connect us to him. He wants to connect us to others. He has given us clear instructions on what we need to do and how we need to do it. Last week, we looked at 2 Peter chapter 1, where Peter offers what is essentially a recipe to follow, how to experience a full life in Christ. Now, sorry, I just got to focus. There's so many things going on in my head at the same time. I'm just going to pause for a second. I'm just going to pray. Lord, we ask you to come. Just, Holy Spirit, just come. Be with us. And just, I want you to just use me and speak through me to whatever it is you want people to hear. And just be evident in our time here together. Lord, we just ask you to come and be with us. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Knowledge. Knowledge is essential in any kind of cooking endeavor. You need to know what you're doing. You need to either look at a recipe, so it's having some knowledge. It's essential. So I want to ask you a few questions to see how much information you might know that has to do with cooking. So the first one, and if you know the answer, just shout it out loud. What is the most expensive spice in the world by weight? Yes, saffron. Now, what beans are used to make baked beans? Navy beans. There's a specific name, and it's called haricot beans. Haricot beans are the ones used to make the baked beans. Now, the word morel is a variety of what? Mushrooms. And hummus. Hummus is made out of what type of food? Chickpeas. And now this one. Let's see if you guys know this one. What is the name of the hottest pepper in the world? No. So according to the internet, the spiciest pepper in the world is the Carolina Reaper. I don't think I've ever tried that, but That's what it says, right? See, we all know a lot, right? We know a lot about the kitchen. I heard the answers all around the church. People were giving you the answers. So we know a lot about that. Good job. Some research, so. In the Bible, when he's talking about the recipe, Peter uses the word gnosis. This word is best translated as knowledge, doctrine, or wisdom. The truth is that our world is bankrupt on wisdom. Few people have actually done the hard work of gaining knowledge about the things of God, those things that actually matter. But Peter believes that adding knowledge to our faith and goodness, as we saw last week, is a formula for spiritual growth. But why knowledge and wisdom? Why is knowledge and wisdom such an important part of living as a Christian? I think we find the answer in the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, which Lindley, thank you for reading for us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The author of Proverbs says that true knowledge comes from the fear of the Lord, or a reverence for the incredible power that he holds as a creator and sustainer of all things in the world. This is the headwaters of knowledge. It is a proper understanding or a position before God and his position before us. He is a creator. We are his creation. He is divine and we are mortal. You know that I like to make connections, so I've got something to share with you here is that, you know, when babies are born, they build a connection, right? There's a healthy relationship, what we call normal development. There's a healthy relationship that develops between an infant and their parents as they grow. When a little baby comes into the world, they literally don't know anything yet. They don't know anything about anything, right? They are developing any kind of knowledge that they have from scratch. It's the beginning. Part of the job as parents is to help guide those kids through the ins and outs of life. And this is what some of the stuff, I teach some of the classes on child development, and sometimes Jessica is listening to my class in the background, she's like, I can't believe you know that, or you never talk about that, right? But children develop by interacting with their environment. As they interact with the environment, any new experience that they have build what we call synapses. I don't know if you guys know what synapses are. It's the connections in your brain. So when you connect your left hemisphere to your right hemisphere, you get to use more of your brain. There's more interconnectedness in your brain. So the more that you have experiences for children, the more they experience, the more their brain is connected, which actually translates to, what do you call it? Well, there's different ways to say it, but essentially their development is more advanced and they develop faster. So the more connections in the brains they have, the more development and the better it is for them in the long run. And how do we accomplish that is by building synapses. And by building synapses, it means giving them experiences, right? And I won't get into the details of regular experience and concrete experiences. That's my other job, right? You're not in school, that's right. Thank you. But it's all about connecting, right? It's all about connecting. It's all about how do us as parents connect with the infant? How do we teach them to live? How do we teach them to survive, right? So when us as parents, as our kids are growing up, when we tell them not to touch the stove, they listen for the most part. Sometimes they don't because they're still curious. But when you tell a child, you know, that's hot, don't touch it, they listen to you. Now, when a parent is walking down the street and all of a sudden you pull your child back because you see a dog barking, you know, they let you lead them, right? They let you protect them. But each time that we do something for them, they're learning. There's a lot of learning happening. There's experiences that are happening. Each time they're being shown that they're limited in their knowledge and in danger of harming themselves without the parents' loving hand. Whether it be a barking dog, whether it be a hot stove, they're learning because they don't know that yet. We are given a choice in the short verses, in the verse in Proverbs, to fear God and to gain wisdom, or to reject God's instruction for our lives and ultimately become a fool. Which brings us to point number one for this morning. I want you to remember. Point number one is don't be a fool. No one wants to be a fool. Not intentionally, anyways. However, when we convince ourselves that we already know everything, there is no place left to receive from God. The full life of God is a result of making the right choices in the middle of circumstances that are not easy to navigate on our own. A wise person feels the weight of the situation and out of respect, fear, and reverence for God, turns to him for guidance. Navigating a messy relationship, navigating a job loss, navigating hurts or wounds from past abuse, raising kids, handling a diagnosis, healing from loss. We must begin by saying, I don't know what to do. God, help me. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and help me, Lord. When we try and go at it alone, we find ourselves further complicating things. And the Bible would call us a fool. We can receive this knowledge from God in many different ways. First, we have been given instructions and guidance within the Scripture. The Bible is God's authoritative word to us, and it speaks to every kind of life experience that we might have. But the Scriptures tell us how God wants us to live. So first is through the Scriptures. Second is we receive knowledge through God's counsel. When we surround ourselves with people who love God and live with wisdom, they can help us experience the full life of God as well. Last week, I challenged you to do some acts of goodness, to tell each other what we do well. That is helping each other live a full life for Christ. But that was last week. This week is knowledge. The problem is that many of us have access to knowledge, but don't apply it to our lives. We have all the resources we need to make the right choice, but many times they go ignored. J.R.R. Tolkien once said, "The chief purpose of life for any of us is to increase according to our capacity, our knowledge of God by all means we have, and to be moved by it to praise and thanks." Just going to read it one more time. The chief purpose in life for any of us is to increase according to our capacity, our knowledge of God by all means we have, and to be moved by it to praise and thanks. When we despise wisdom and instructions, as the Proverbs say, we neglect a major ingredient in the recipe of the full life, for a full life. We must allow the knowledge of God to transform us. Who wants to be transformed by God's knowledge? I pray you are. I pray we all are. And then transformation begins with my point number two this morning. Wisdom is knowledge applied. So the point number one is don't be a fool. Second one is knowledge is wisdom applied. Knowledge is information, but wisdom is transformation. It's what we do with the knowledge. Wisdom is when knowledge moves from our heads to our hearts. The book of James speaks to the need of the knowledge of God to move us to action. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." James uses this powerful illustration of our reflection in a mirror when he's describing how we receive the word of God. We are called to be doers. We are called by God in His Word to be doers, not just to be people who hear. When we hear God's Word but do not do what He's calling us to do, it goes back to looking at yourself in the mirror. We don't read the Bible for information. We read the Bible for application. When we forget that what scriptures have revealed to us, then there is no application and therefore no transformation. We read the Bible so that we can apply it in our lives. There's a lot of times where I just using some of my extra time or the few minutes that I have here and there to read sometimes. Sometimes when you're reading the Bible, things jump out to you. Amen? A sense of conviction because the passage reveals something within you or within me. Not long ago, I was reading. It was in the early morning. I came upon Colossians 2:6, which is part of reading plan. Jess and I like reading plans. So I was reading, but it had been, or it felt like it had been a spiritual slump for us. And I was unsure how to move forward. What do you do? How do you deal with this? How do you, you know? So I was reading, and then it stood out to me, and I said, you know, what is God trying to tell me? And what Colossians 2:6 says, so then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. I'm sure I read this verse before, but that morning it just felt different. And of course, at that point, Jessica came to my mind because she had just made a comment not too long before that. She said that we needed to do better, that we needed to do better in meeting with God on a regular basis. She asked me a question. She said, how is God feeding you? What is it that you're doing that God is feeding you with? She didn't mean, how is He feeding me with food? Because Jessica's a great cook, so I don't need other food, but how is He feeding my spiritual life? How is He speaking to me? I had been neglecting the simple disciplines of my life that I had begun when I decided to be a follower of Jesus Christ. These were the things that I did to build my foundation of faith. Things like intentional prayer. Things like reading the Bible regularly. Surrounding myself with other believers and confession of sin. It's easy to get caught up with the business of life. But we need to remember that we need to connect to our Creator. I easily could have felt the Spirit's nudge to action and then move on with my day without ever making changes. And that's the reality that happens. You know, we feel this. We're in God, we're with God, we're praying, we're reading, and we feel the nudge. But then, you know, in our household, there's three kids that wake up and, oh, I got to get up, I got to go move, I got to, you know. So maybe it's at work. Maybe you're reading and connected with God, and then somebody steps into your office and asks you to do stuff. It's easy to get distracted. But that is also what the enemy wants. I may know from the Bible or from people who are connected to God that I talk to, which I call counsel, that I ought to love my neighbor as myself. But if I don't do it, what have I accomplished? Even though the Bible is clear on living with honesty, we all struggle with truthfulness. I'm certain the Bible wants every Christian to share their faith, but in truth, few of us actually do. When we add to our faith goodness and throw in a touch of knowledge, that is applied wisdom in our lives. That is a secret sauce of a Christian faith that in truth is not secret at all. And we're going to keep building on this recipe. But think about that. When you add to your faith goodness and then a touch of knowledge, what would that look like? Now, everyone is welcome to it. We are all invited to freely experience this in our own lives and to help others experience that in their lives. What do we do if we feel like we don't have the wisdom we need to navigate the ups and downs of life? What do we do when we feel like we lack the knowledge we need to grow in our faith? Now, just a few verses before James gives us a mirror illustration, he answers this question, and it's James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives you generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. In order to add knowledge to our faith and goodness, all you have to do is ask. Which brings us to point number 3 of this morning. Ask the chef. Far too many of us see prayer as a last resort and not the first response. Why try to work things out in our own strength and forget to come to the one who made the world and who made us to inform our decisions? God is not up somewhere in heaven with all the answers to the full life in God. He's not hoarding them to himself. The Bible says that God gives generously, and he's more than willing to give us wisdom if we ask. My grandmother passed away a few years back. But some years before she died, she began to develop dementia. Her mind was going, and we lived here in Canada. She was in Mexico. So it was hard to hear about. But it was also hard for the people that were there to watch. One of the things I remember was that my grandma was a wonderful cook. She made many different things. I'm thankful that now Jessica makes some of those things. One of my favorite things that my grandma made was something very simple, where we would translate it into beans. It was beans and broth. We used to call that, in Spanish, we call it frijolitos. Her beans were always flavorful. It's hard to describe, but it was just something that she just made. And it was always there. It was always available. Whenever she ran out of the food, she would offer you some beans. And I've always ate a lot. So she would always offer me the beans. Me and my grandma, we were friends. We were pals. She loved to cook. I loved to eat. She loved to feed me. I thought it was great. We used to spend a lot of time together on the dining room table. One of the other things my grandma was somebody that liked to joke around a lot, and I liked to laugh. So we used to spend a lot of time eating and laughing and just talking on the table. her frijolitos, her beans, were better than any other beans. And I used to go, it didn't matter what time we stopped at grandparents' house, no matter what time it was, I would sit at the table because I knew if I sit at the table, she would bring me something to eat. And more times than not, it was the beans. And after a while, we started putting feta cheese on our beans, and it was good. Sorry. I should never make pregnant women hungry, right? As we began to notice that she was deteriorating, I'm not kidding, most of the family said, we need to make sure we get her recipes. Because like I said, she was a good cook. And this is on my dad's side. My dad is one of nine. So there's nine siblings on that side. And all of them wanted to keep the recipes. So obviously, we went and they had a conversation with grandma and they started writing down all their recipes. Funny part is, when it came to, I said, I want the recipe for the frijolitos. The recipe she made, the recipe she gave is a simple one. Very simple. But it was so good. I call it comfort food. But if we didn't ask for the recipes, they would have been lost forever. I can mention another one that we do. My grandma made meatballs, specific way of making meatballs, but everybody loved it. But if we hadn't asked for the recipe, it would have been lost. She graciously shared with us, some of them with very fine detail. Some of them, you know, she tells you, well, you have to add this. And then how do you know how to stop? Well, you got to taste it. If it tastes good, then you stop. But we have her recipes, and they're no secret. We can follow the recipes ourselves. All we had to do was ask her to share with us. God is the one who inspired Peter to write the passage from 2 Peter that lays out the recipe for a faithful life. He has given us all we need for life and godliness. Sometimes when we get lost, when we get confused, when we need direction, all we have to do is ask. Ask the chef. The one who knows how to cook a holy life. Ask the chef. God is there waiting for you. He knows what you need. He knows what you want. But he still wants you to ask. Knowledge is wisdom in action. I want to close our time together by asking God for knowledge. For the knowledge we need today to honor him and to honor others. Would you just take a moment? Just come before him and tell him the areas of your life that you need his direction in. What are the areas of your life that you need God to help you with? That you need God to guide you with? Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed. He knows you. He created you. He knows what you need, and he wants to give it to you. But you have to ask. Ask God to come into those areas of your life that you need him in. I pray that And God will give you wisdom, that God will give you knowledge, that you will begin to see his recipe for your life, your faith with some goodness and to knowledge, and that you would begin to experience his recipe for your full life in him. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.